Shame of Philadelphia Radio, the time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
Oh my gosh, look at that. Sterling every damn night, WPHT Philadelphia weather. Stand by, here we go. Tomorrow, a high of 89 and sunny. Did he say that? We're going down the shore. Saturday, we're going down the shore. 82, no rain, no trouble. Sunday, 83, we're going down the shore. Monday, 91, sunny, we're going down the shore. Right now, there's an air quality alert. A lot of people just ate. It's 77 and clear in Center City, Philadelphia from 1210 WPHT. My gosh, look at that. Here we are.
Hey, www. Somebody stop me. PHT. www. If you can top me, PHT. 2400 Market Street, 1210 on your dial. That powerful, powerful station with the 50 kilowatt smile. Yeah, Sterling, 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 from sea to shining sea. This is www. Somebody stop me, PHT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, can you believe it? Next week is Dom Giordano Day. Dom Giordano Day. Join Dom, Scott Pressler, at Mulligan's Shore Bar and Grill in the great shore town of Wildwood, where all of Dom Giordano's fans and friends will be broadcasting live with music from Burning Sky Band and appearances from some of the very favorite callers and guests to Dom Giordano. I don't dare do this. Absolutely not. The major reason I don't dare do this is because he features favorite guests and callers. My callers can't show up because of the RICO Act. They cannot show up. There's no way my callers are going to show up. They'd be terrifying. It'd be very dangerous. I'd like somebody to explain something to me. On Market Street today, protesters were arrested in picketing at Aramark's City Center headquarters. Food workers call for better pay and benefits. To do this, they showed giant inflatable cartoon characters. They're pushing, Local 274 is pushing for pay increases and health benefits for its members. The union has held other recent strikes and pickets. I don't get it. What were they arrested for? Union members working for Aramark at the South Philadelphia Sports Complex conducted a civil disobedience protest in Center City this afternoon with at least 45 participants arrested as they disrupted rush hour traffic to draw attention to their months-long struggle to get new contracts with better pay. Now, starting around 4 p.m. today, several hundred members of the United The Local 274, they gathered outside the headquarters, 2400 Market Street, with a giant inflatable cigar, a fat cat, and marched in the area chanting and holding signs that read, Aramark, unfair, equal treatment, now. Okay. And there were protests in other cities. But 45 people were arrested. What were they arrested for? I can't see any place where they were arrested. They were arrested for stopping traffic? Well, I don't care what time it is. At that point on Market Street, the traffic's never that bad. And there are many, many alternate routes. Right by the Schuylkill, there are many alternate routes. You know where it is. It's right by the train station. Now, if you're going to arrest them for blocking traffic, then you need to arrest everybody on Market Street for blocking traffic. Let's review. Right now, at the same point on Market Street, is an incredibly dangerous construction project. On one side of Market Street, the sidewalk's fine. You park your car there. You will get towed. I got towed, even though I was parked legally and had money in the meter. Even though I was parked legally and had money in the meter. And the precious Neil Paul had to put down the spare ribs and come and get me out of the tow. Thank God for Neil Paul. a true listener, a true patriot, and a great American. What? Oh, Mark Levin. Sorry. I got Mark's script mixed up. I don't understand, on the other side of the street, where there's no parking, half the block is completely blocked off at the sidewalk. You cannot walk on the sidewalk on Market Street at the 2400 block. You have to cross the street in the middle of the street. You'd have to walk all the way down Market Street to a crosswalk to get to the other side so you can walk on a sidewalk. Instead, you're crossing in the middle of the street. You have to, or else you're going to spend 4 days just walking on Market Street. You know who they are. I don't have to explain to you. You went to public school. You can get that. They have blocked off a significant portion of Market Street at the sidewalk. It isn't like they've come up with a detour for the sidewalk or an alternate path around the massive construction that they're doing at about 2500 Market Street. They've blocked off the sidewalk with construction. Usually, there's an accommodation made if you're walking on the sidewalk to get around construction. No accommodation made there. No, you got to cross the middle of the street. What could be more dangerous than that? Not much. If you're going to stop the strikers who deserve more money, they deserve more money. Good luck to you if you're carrying people's drinks and food in a stadium, a hot, sticky stadium surrounded by drunks going, "Yeah, Phillies, go Phillies." If you're doing that, you earn every penny. "Hey, you know, I said I wanted mustard on this dog. What are you doing? Why? I'm not going to pay you for this." Some poor kid, a senior in high school, has to walk the stadium and get your hot dog and your mustard. Tell you what, buddy, just carry the little packs of mustard in your pocket like a real dad, like I do. I got everything going on in my pockets. I got mustard, ketchup, relish, whatever you want. Plastic spoons, plastic forks, plastic knives. That's what a real father does. That's what real fathers do. You don't need to sit in the stadium and yell at some poor high schooler, "Hey," and then give them a 5-cent tip. No, they deserve more money. You betcha. Anybody working in the service industry, that's part of the genius of the next man who will be president. He said, "Hey, you know what? We're not going to tax those tips." Genius. Freaking genius. "We're not going to tax those tips." Genius. Absolutely brilliant. If you're going to arrest the Aramark picketers with their giant cigars on Market Street for, quote, blocking traffic, there's no traffic there. Even at 4, there's barely any traffic. Plenty of room to get around. Then you have to arrest any construction worker, any construction entity that is blocking any part of Market Street. Look at all the construction. Look at all the inconvenience. But there are certain parts where they've completely blocked off the sidewalk, have not provided an alternate roof, have not provided a safe path, have not given us a chance to work around it. We have to stop in the middle of the sidewalk and cross in the middle of freaking Market Street to get to a safe sidewalk, which is where our cars are lined up on Market Street to park in those insane meters that nobody understands, and then watch our cars be towed while parked legally. I got a lot of problems here. But I want you to go to Dom Giordano Day. Dom Giordano Day will be a great time. It'll be a party. You deserve a party. Dom Giordano Day is next week. Join Dom at Mulligan's Shore Bar and Grill in the great shore town of Wildwood, where we will be broadcasting live with music from Burning Sky Band and appearances from some of our favorite callers and guests. Listen live next week from Mulligan's Bar. Listen live on 1210 WPHT. But Dom's inviting callers to appear and visit. Some of their favorite callers, some of their famous callers. I can't do that. Are you kidding me? They can't be seen the light. They've never seen the light of day, and we don't fit in. I can't do promotions like that because I don't fit in. You'll go, oh, God, it doesn't look anything like what we thought. Oh, my God, it's terrifying. Oh, it's terrifying. I love what the residents of Lincoln Drive are doing to put an end to speeders and insane traffic. What the residents of Lincoln Drive are doing follows the great heritage of what towns in New Jersey have done for many years. The other thing about that part of Market Street, at that part of Market Street is the weirdest Trader Joe's. You've been to that Trader Joe's there? It's like at the 18th block, 18th Street. It's a bizarre Trader Joe's. It takes up the whole block, most of the block, I think, but you can't enter it from Market Street. Instead, you have to take your life in your hands. Go to the back. All the signs on the front of Market say, go around to the back. Why should I have to go to the back of a supermarket? There at the back of the supermarket, what do we see? Loading docks, dangerous. 18-wheelers pulling up in a driveway that's way too small for an 18-wheeler, dangerous. And then when I get inside, it's like a scary Walmart. I've been to nice Trader Joe's. You've been to nice Trader Joe's. I'll share that experience with you coming up in just seconds. What is this? What kind of show is this? Why isn't he screaming at the Democrats? I don't understand. This is Sterling Every Night. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is live Philadelphia radio. There hasn't been a live show at this time on this station in 34 and a half years. But here I am, Walter M. Sterling. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. Inspired by Captain Kangaroo.
You know, I'm kind of glad that Mr. Moose isn't here right now.
Hey, www. Somebody stop me. www. If you can top me, PhD.
2400 Market Street, 1210 on your dial. That powerful, powerful station with the 50 kilowatt smile.
Yeah, Sterling, 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 Sterling. From sea to shining sea. This is www. Somebody stop me, PhD.
922 in Philadelphia from the great 1210 WPHT. A live radio show at this time. I mean, really, can you believe it? These arrests on Market Street by the protesters who wanted some money for serving you and me a hot dog and a beer at the stadium. What did they arrest them for? And are they still in jail? Do they need to be bailed out? Should PNC, that claims to be an advertiser, should be they going downtown and bailing them out? I think that's a fair question. What did they arrest those guys for? What did they arrest the protesters for? I don't get it. That one is very confusing to me. Do I have that article? No, of course, that would be too much. And remember, Dom Giordano Day is next week. It's next week in Wildwood. It's going to be a great day. You're going to get to see Dom Giordano. He speaks into the very same microphone I do, and he's scandalized by it every day. Dom Giordano Day is next week. Join Dom and Scott Pressler at Mulligan Shore Bar and Grill in the great shore town of Wildwood, where they'll be broadcasting live with music from Burning Sky Band and appearances from some of our very favorite callers and guests, like I say, and listen live on 1210 WPHT. I can't do that. I can't do a promotion like that. It would be too terrifying to actually see the callers, to actually meet Midnight Misfits. The very reason we listen to the radio at this time is because misfits, introverts, we don't mix like that. What you and I do is we take our meat, we take it to the back of the cave, and we're chewing it alone. And we work out all of our issues in solitude. Not solitaire, solitude. We don't want anyone to bother us. We don't want anyone to think we're social. We're not social. We're social in our heads, but we're not really social. But the Giordano listener, that's a very special extrovert. They know the city. They know the bus lines. They know the secret bus lines. They know all the secret places to eat. They don't need a magazine to give them a guide of great pizza. You and I know where the great pizza is. It's Passos, P-A-S-S-O. near Rittenhouse Square. Paso's open till, God bless you, Nabil, till 2 in the morning. And that's when pizza should be open. It should be open till 2 in the morning. And one of the great things about Philadelphia, compared to other, quote, pizza cities, like that one in Connecticut, everybody thinks is where the best pizza is, and it's not. And New York, where there is great pizza, but they don't have this. I can go into a pizzeria here, walk in at any time of day. There are the slices lined up. Who knows how long they've been sitting out there? Don't care. One of the choices will be sausage pizza. That doesn't happen in other cities anymore. You know what they've got? They've got crap, like mixed salad pizza. Or, you know, the worst. I can't even say it. I can't even say the worst, can I? No, I won't. Last night, I get off the air at midnight. I stumble out of here. Sean and I leave. There's no one else in the building. No, I take it back. I got to tell you. I'll tell you about the pizza in a second. I don't want to forget this. I've spent hours and hours today listening to KYW News Radio. Before I was a talk show host, I was a consultant. People paid me ridiculous sums of money to wear wingtip shoes into their office, a navy blue Brooks Brothers suit, and give them advice about what to put on the air. 1010 Winds in New York City was a client of mine for a long time, qualifying me to consult giant talk stations like OG WGN, and not some freak who writes haiku. I give bullet points. I say, do this, 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 and this, and you'll have higher ratings. I don't go, well, you know, the future of the format is dependent on me getting in a helicopter and doing hallucinogens. I'm not that consultant. I say, do this, 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 and this, and your ratings will go up. And when they do it, it does. Isn't that magnificent? I spent hours today listening to KYW News Radio. That is a fantastic all news station. I hadn't listened to it in a little while. Got to meet a lot of the people who work at KYW because we're in the building at the same time. Terrific group of people. Enjoy our conversations. And now I'm listening to them on the air, and that is an amazing radio station. Well done, professional, well written. It moves like a freight train. I take it back. Like an express train. That's what you want. Which makes me wonder, why does WPHT run CBS News? Why aren't we running KYW News? This is the sort of question only I can ask. I have certain privilege. I have ex-consultant privilege. I have wingtip privilege. I am a master of PowerPoint. I know the secret to great PowerPoints. Listen, you just started that job as an analyst at that terrible venture capital fund that your mother thought you should work at. She's wrong. 8 slides, 8 words a slide. That's it. And when you're doing the PowerPoint, if at some point people in the audience raise their hands and start asking questions, you win. And don't try to push another slide on them. Let the conversation flow. Let them feel good about it. Let them interrupt you and stop you, and you win. But if you get through all 8 slides and all 8 words per slide and they haven't asked a question yet, you failed. You have failed. You will not succeed. You might as well give it up. Throw away the money you wasted at Wharton, where they taught you Administration 101, which is how to be a horrible person. I know about that course. I know that actually at Wharton, they teach you to be a horrible person. But PASSO, pizza, near Rittenhouse Square, I go in there at midnight. No, I went in there at, 12:30? Yeah. I go in there at 12:30, and there it was. There's the sausage pizza. And Nabil heated it up for me. And it was perfect. And then I eat in the car. Because, you know, if you're raised in Jersey, you're taught to eat in the car. I sit in the car. I'm eating in the car. What happens? I lift it up. And the crust is so thin. Light comes through it. Does that happen in other cities? No. And even better, as I lift it up, it starts to drip. The magic of Philadelphia pizza grease. It's dripping like sacred oil in my car. I have posted this on Facebook, Walter Sterling, S-T-E-R. I've even posted the video of the oil dripping, and I'd like your feedback. I would like your comments. Oh, my gosh, we're going to have a great time tonight, aren't we, Sean? This is going to be the best show we've ever made. How many shows have we made? Eight? Yeah, this will be the best. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Frank Zappa.
Are there any rock lyrics, Mr. Zappa, that you have heard in the past couple of years that you wouldn't want your children listening to?
We are the world.
All right, 936, 936 from 1210 WPHT. Weather for Greater Philadelphia, Lehigh Valley, all of those imaginary places. Ready? Stand by. Friday, tomorrow, 89 and sunny. Saturday, down the shore, 82. Get down there. You're gonna get to the Hormone House, your summer house, otherwise known as the Hormone House. Sunday, 83, sunny. Monday, 91 and sunny. And right now, oh my gosh, look at that. How lucky are we? It is 76 in Center City, Philadelphia, from 1210 WPHT.
More jingles, Sterling every night.
936 with Walter M. Sterling. Sterling every damn night. What were we talking about? It was something very exciting, wasn't it? Oh, the pizza. That's the key. If you fold the pizza, Paso pizza. That's what I had last night. No, he's not giving me anything. Don't give me any of your crap. Nabil is just a good guy, runs a business. He's there himself with his driver for deliveries, deliveries till 2 in the morning. When you're hungover, when you're stoned, when you have blood sugar problems, you're studying, the baby won't go to sleep, P-A-S-S-O, Paso Pizza, Rittenhouse Square. Good guy, Nabil. Takes Venmo. That's what you need. Takes cash or Venmo. Got it? But he puts a driver to work to do delivery. The driver's right outside the store. It's not some embarrassing car with a pizza box on top of it. It's like he's a real Philly guy standing outside that pizzeria and makes you feel safe. And the other good thing that I liked about it is there were a lot of kids on bikes. There were a lot, not the motorbikes, the real bikes. Kids on bikes looked like a good crowd. I felt safe. And I most importantly, I had pizza that when I folded it, the oil dripped down my arm. And I went, this is what terrorizes people in the Midwest when they see pizza like this. That's why they don't have pizza like we have. They have pizza that's actually housing insulation or from a sofa. That Chicago deep dish pizza is not pizza. It's seasoned building insulation. The first time Lisa Glassberg took me to a pizzeria in Chicago because she thought it was the best pizza. And this is a girl from Long Island, newswoman from Long Island. Gorgeous girl. Oh, my God. Never got married. She wanted a Jewish Kennedy, Lisa Glassberg. But she took me for it. And there's this 5-inch thick housing insulation. This is the best pizza in the city. And a steak knife and a fork, that's what was needed. A serving fork and a steak knife was needed to cut that pizza. It was horrible. But what I had last night was heaven. Paso pizza. I folded it, and the grease dripped down my arm. And I knew, sitting in my car, my messy car, in front of the pizzeria near Rittenhouse Square, I knew this was my home. I knew this is where I belonged. I got 2 slices, Diet Coke, because it's clearly a diet food, and I could not have been happier. My phone number, this is a live show, love to talk to you, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210 from 1210 WPHT. Now, I am very, very impressed because of my heritage with the actions of the residents of Lincoln Drive as they push for stronger safety measures. It seems that on Lincoln Drive in Northeast Philadelphia, what did I say? It's Northeast, right? It's a very fine line there. It's very confusing to me. I'm sorry. What did I say? Mount Airy. I'd had enough, said Mr. Amston, 33, a mortgage broker who bought his West Mount Airy house out of control cars launched from one of the city's most dangerous roads, had already knocked out several protective steel posts filled with concrete, each weighing as much as 400 pounds. I couldn't keep making claims on my homeowner's insurance, he said. The first crash happened at 1 a.m., about a week after he moved in. The third was last February. Northwest Philadelphia, yeah. Meanwhile, the neighbors do what they can. At the notorious Emlyn Circle, where Lincoln Drive and two other streets intersect at oblique angles, they have placed yellow flags to help pedestrians take one from the container, cross the street, survive, and put it in a container on the other side of the street. The other people who live there, other people who live on Lincoln Drive, have gotten radar guns. They've started to actually clock people going through their neighborhood. And now they want to put up barriers and other ways to make it harder to just race through there. And it's sure enough, the Department of Transportation listened to their complaints, the town, whatever. Oh, well, you know, it's on our list. The response was pretty much, oh, well, it's on our list. It's really not a big deal.
Come on, sir.
But it made me remember a remarkable event in Maplewood, New Jersey, in the early 1990s. Brilliant. There's a neighborhood in Maplewood, New Jersey, northeast corner, that other townships like Hillside decided that was brilliant. We have to do that. What did they do? What did the denizens of Maplewood, New Jersey do to deal with their fears of speeding traffic? That's what they said it was. They said, well, there's trouble with traffic. We're scared about all of these people driving through too fast. It's a safety issue. We have to do something. Well, this is what Maplewood, New Jersey did. You ready? It seems that this one portion of Maplewood borders Newark. And they said people were driving way too fast from Newark into Maplewood through these two or three streets that bordered Newark. Turns out Hillside has two or three streets that border Newark as well. And the people of Maplewood, at this part of Maplewood that borders Newark, made a decision. They put up road barrier fences. They put up high barrier fences that were impossible to drive through. They put up a boundary. They put up a border between Maplewood and Newark, where the people of Newark could not easily drive into Maplewood. What happened next is really the stuff of legends, and I'll share it with you coming up in moments. This is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night. Inspired by Frank Rizzo.
I was a cop all my life, and I know a lush when I see one, and you're a lush.
Hey, www, somebody stop me, PhD. www, if you could top me, PhD.
2400 Market Street, 1210 on your dial. That powerful, powerful station with the 50-kilowatt smile. Yeah, Sterling, 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 from sea to shining sea. This is www. Somebody stop me, PhD.
948 in the city of Philadelphia with Walter M. Sterling and Caroline. Welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night.
Thank you, Walter. I would like to talk about the rat problem in this city. I was walking along 15th Street across from City Hall last week, and I saw a rat running along with me, and he ran right down into the sewer. between Market and Chestnut. It was really totally disgusting. And then last year, Hoagie Day, I was eating my hoagie in Independence National Park, you know, already taking out my hoagie and the drink and everything. And what do I see scurrying along? A rat dragging. I don't remember what he was dragging, but then I saw an old guy. He's feeding, like, he thinks he's feeding the birds, but, you know, the rats are running rampant. So I would like to suggest that Sherelle Parker lay down some rat traps and poison. You know, she's spending a lot of money to clean the streets. In fact, my street was, you know, swept today. I don't know exactly, you know, how much they have to clean the street, but, you know, and then I see this, you know, a lot of rats, you know, running in Center City, which is, you know, truly disgusting, and I don't have to tell you, a health hazard. And also, instead of so much money for her staff, why doesn't she hire more police? Last week I was going down into the subway, and these couple guys came up, like, towards me. I thought they were going to rob me or something, and they're waving their hands at me, and I really got scared. And then they started, they went up the steps, and they were both laughing. And then I don't know if you saw it today on the TV, a woman was robbed on the L. They took her cell phone, and then they stood in the doorway, prevented her from getting off the, you know, the L train, and they robbed her of her cell phone. And they're telling us this city is safe or safer. I don't see it. And every day you hear all these murders and robberies, and then a guy was beaten up and robbed of $35,000, carjacked, or you know, robbed his car today in South Philly. So instead of these exorbitant salaries for her staff, why doesn't she spend this money for more police, which we need desperately in this city?
Do you think the mayor should personally put out the rat traps? I do.
Yeah, I think it would be a good example. Like in New York, they have a rat czar, and I think she should. And these people in this city are total pigs. They throw everything litter all over the place. They don't clean up after themselves. They think the street and the sewer is a big trash can. I mean, it's a mess in this city, and I'm totally disgusted. So I like to see her along with, she's saying, you know, cleaner, greener, safer, lay down rat traps and poison to kill these rats in the neighborhoods. And then, like I'm saying, in Center City, they're running wild. I don't know how other people, they must see it, yes.
Did you grow up in the city?
Yes, I did, right. Born and raised.
You have a magnificent Philadelphia accent. It is a magnificent voice. Now, how do you feel about my show?
Yeah, I like it, Walter. It's entertaining. But I just wish sometimes you would bring up some more weighty matters like crime, anti-Semitism in New York that I'm seeing on the subways, where they're telling Zionists, or they're asking people on the train, are you a Zionist? And then telling them to get off the train, you know, if they're Jewish or Zionist. I mean, you know, and I saw that Kathy Hochul wants to eliminate masks so they can identify these criminals and arrest them and get them the hell out of this country.
You know why I don't talk?
Anti-Jewish, you know, and anti-West.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Listen. I am the only host on this station who actually got on the phone and spoke to a bus driver in Tel Aviv. And rather than going to some official Fox reporter, NBC reporter, rather than doing what most talk show hosts do, which is calling the officials, I get on the phone with the people who are in the situation, the civilians who are in the situation. And I asked the bus driver in Tel Aviv, I said to him, well, what is the situation? How are you guys doing? How are you managing? And I got a Israeli bus driver to talk about their life, his situation. I didn't hear anybody else do that. They talked to the official, you know, the official people in at Fox and at NBC, and I try to get to the eye level. That's what I try to do. I get to the eye level of a person who lives there, works there, and I spoke to the bus driver named Dov, D-O-V, who is an Israeli who lives there, and I asked him exactly how do the people of Israel feel about Donald Trump? And I'll play that for you in just seconds. I am really glad you called. I love the call, Caroline. Thank you very much for listening to Sterling every damn night. Oh, my gosh. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. I'll find it. Hold on. I got to find that interview with Dove.
A lot of very well-meaning hams, and perhaps they're right. I don't even know. I'm merely stating my personal opinion that I'm against it, but they feel quite strongly, just as I do, in the opposite direction, that we should, before we're allowed to walk into a store, and several of outlets are right in the general area here, before we can walk in that store and present ourselves and buy a piece of transmitting equipment, that we should have to produce our license.
The ghost of talk show host passed. The ghost of talk show hope past. Irv.
In other words, Mike, what you're saying is, and Roger, if I read you correctly, you can purchase transceivers or transmitting equipment without a license.
Yes, sir, you can.
And is there some group or someone stating that you should get a license first, that has requirements?
Many hams are of that opinion.
855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Coming up, we're going to talk to Vic Ferrari. Vic Ferrari contributes to this show every night. He is a brilliant author, writes funny books, but more importantly, he is a retired police detective, and he has real cop stories, not those stupid podcasts, you know, the Green River Murderers that took place in outside Atlanta. That's stupid. Why do people listen to those? I said, well, obviously, crime is a very hot thing. That's what everybody wants to talk about on podcasts. That's all they pretty much talk about. But I will get a real police detective, and Vic Ferrari will share us coming up in just seconds. All right, my phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. And what else I got for you? Oh, yeah, so the end of the story about what happened in Maplewood, New Jersey, is just like what they're trying to do on 4th Street. No, I apologize. On Lincoln Drive in Northwest Philadelphia, where the speeding's out of control. They're getting out speed guns, speed trap guns. They're trying to block the streets. Well, in Maplewood, New Jersey, they actually did block the streets. And they said it was for speeding. It wasn't for speeding. It was on the border of Newark. And the people of Hillside said, you know, let's stop this. This was in 1993. It took the legislature of the state of New Jersey years to take down the barriers between Maplewood and Newark. Citizens of Maplewood just put up the barriers. They had had enough of whatever the problem was, and they put up barriers. And then Hillside did the same thing. It took the state legislature years to get the fence and the barriers taken down because they were just put up by angry citizens like the people of Lincoln Drive. I salute the people of Lincoln Drive who are doing everything they can to stop the speeders with their own radar guns. That's what you want for Father's Day. That is what you want for Father's Day, your own radar guns. Wouldn't that be fantastic? My phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I look forward to talking to you live on 1210 WPHT. This is Sterling every damn night.
Now, the shame of Philadelphia radio, the time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
All right, from 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia, it's 10:03. Here's the weather. Oh, my God. I am so proud and excited to share this. Ready tomorrow. Sunny, high of 89. Saturday, sunny, high of 82. Sunday, high of 83. Sunny. On Monday, when you're going to play hooky, it's going to be 91 and sunny right now. It is 75 and clear in Center City from 1210 WPHT. My phone number is live, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. We have a number of very, very important things to discuss. What were the people protesting on Market Street today, the picketers? What were they arrested for? There were like 50 of them arrested. I don't know what for. None of the articles said what they were arrested for. And Dom Giordano is napping right now, so I can't ask him. Then, last night I had Paso Pizza. P-A-S-S-O. It had two things that I couldn't get over. Number one, it had sausage. I didn't have to ask for it. There were slices waiting for me with sausage. Secondly, I lifted it up, and the beautiful streetlights near Rittenhouse Square glowed through the pizza crust. It was that thin. And then when I lifted it up, I was anointed with pizza oil from a Philadelphia slice of pizza. There is nothing better, Sue. Sue, welcome to Sterling every damn night. Hi.
I saw that video of the oil dripping from the pizza. I thought that was ASMR stuff. It was awesome. That was a great video.
Didn't you feel it bordered on art? Shouldn't it be at the Arts College?
I don't know, but I thought I should be having pizza, that's for sure.
Yes, and they're open till 2 a.m. That's how God meant pizzerias to be open.
I believe that's right. And you said something about a dad wanting a radar gun for Father's Day. Well, I'm calling to tell you, you can have a radar gun on your phone. I have an app on my phone called Radar Gun High Heat, and it's designed to see how fast someone is throwing a baseball, let's say. But I use it when I'm on the Perkiomen Trail to see how fast people are going on their bicycles, because now that they have these e-bikes, they're going 30 miles an hour back there. So, you know, you push the button when they're about 60 feet away, and as soon as they pass you, you push it again, and you can see how fast they were going. So,
what do you do with that information when you know how fast the bikers were going? What do you do with that info?
Nothing. I threaten to say, hey, it's only 12 miles an hour speed limit on that trail, but they don't actually enforce any of the rules on the trail, so it wouldn't do me any good at all to tell anybody that, you know, people are going 30 miles an hour. It's going to take someone getting run over to really, you know, get someone's attention, but it satisfies my curmudgeonly, you know, right to complain or whatever. So,
well, yeah, and if you did anything with that info, you would go for being a Sue to being a Karen, and we can't have that. Thank you, Sue. Thank you very much for listening to Sterling Every Damn Night. My phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. There's a specific genome of human that rides the bikes. Think about the people you know who ride the bike to where you work or commute by bike. I genetically am disposed to not like anybody who commutes by bike. The bigger businesses, the bigger office buildings have bike rooms. All the people who park their bikes in the bike room, they appear to be the same person. They seem to be members of the same family. My first thought when I see the bike room people is that they listen to NPR. These are very serious green people, climate containment people. These are green people. They listen to NPR. Therefore, I can say whatever I want about them because they're sure as hell not going to listen to me. The men all have shaved heads. I can't explain why, but every bicycler I've ever known has a shaved head. They wear those helmets, but they take off the helmet. Their heads are shaved, all of them. They're all about 1 inch too tall. They should be a certain height for a certain age, all about 1 inch too tall. And they're very focused. Not only do they ride the bike through the city and take it to their bike room and have insisted that their employer provide them with bike rooms, but they have that earnest anger that those of us who walk to work, God forbid, or drive a car, oh my God, they look at us with disdain. They look at us with disdain. They park that $800 bike minimum. And now the ones with the motor, it's crazy talk. They put them on those bike racks that I don't understand, where they're hanging upside down like meat, and they got their bikes hanging there with meat. If your company has a lot of the bicycle riders to work, you're not going to make any money. Guaranteed. The first time I ever saw it proliferate, really a heavy quantity of bike riders at work, was Spotify. You know, that streaming, curating my music thing. Whoever came up with that? What? Whoever came up, we curate. Curate? What? Shouldn't that only apply to museums or certain types of meat? Why is everything suddenly curated? Why, you young whippersnappers, how dare you? I visit Spotify. I went up there years ago to visit their head of content. And sure enough, there was a guy in a European cut shirt, certainly not a traditional cut shirt, certainly not a Scotchmore room pants. There he was, shaved head, European cut shirt. He was employee 001 at Spotify. When the doors opened at the elevator on 6th Avenue in New York City for Spotify, it was like a cartoon of a startup, of a groovy, overfinanced startup. Opens up, and there, I swear to you, lobby to my left, bike racks, many, many, many bike racks. But the thing that was at eye level, the thing that was line of sight, were a group of Spotify employees at 11 in the morning participating in a yoga class. Now, if you're participating in a yoga class at 11 in the morning and you're not selling yoga wear, your business is not going to be making money. Because that's like going to gym at 11 in the morning. You're going to be sweaty, focused on physical things, not on mental things. It's all wrong. All wrong. Then they had this weird netting over all the offices, all the walls. It was supposed to look like spider webs. And the message there was that we're all connected by these brilliant ideas. We're connected like we're in a spider web. Every person. And then this is the sign of a corrupt regime. Two things for sure mean it's a corrupt regime. If you've ever worked for a business that doesn't let you post cartoons on the company bulletin boards in the break room in your office, if they don't allow you to post cartoons, that is the first sign of a corrupt regime. The second sign of a corrupt regime is if there's no technology involved, there's no patented machine involved, if they have signs everywhere that say no photographs. Well, at Spotify, everywhere they had signs that said no photographs. Well, what was there? There was wall art hanging on the walls. There was that spider web thing. No, really. Throughout the walls, between every office, were string spider webs. That's what they had everywhere. No photos. Then walked to the head of content at Spotify. We walked down densely populated hallways. There were a lot of people working at this startup. And we go past a hot and crusty buffet. They had free lunch all day. Free lunch all day is a clever idea that I believe Mr. Bloomberg started. And what is that? His theory was that if food is always here, people won't waste an hour and a half going out for lunch. It is a smart strategy. There was the hot and crusty buffet and tables to eat it at. Now I go in to meet the head of content at Spotify, and I'm introduced by the head of international sales. He looks at me like I'm 400 years old. And we start talking, and I say all sorts of things that terrify him. And the reason I terrified him is the head of Spotify believes in something that is immoral. Music discovery. He's one of these guys. He isn't there anymore. He was one of these guys who believed that all new music is good and that all new music deserves to be exposed. He's a music discovery guy. And this has nothing to do with age. There are music discovery guys who are 80 who believe all new music should be exposed, and people who are 14 who believe the same thing. But the fact is that you and I want to hear hits. And the thing that is bizarre about Apple iTunes is they figured that Shuffle would be the most popular feature on iTunes, and it's not. It's same song repeat. But now I'm at Spotify when it was very new. Not a lot of people knew about it. They did not have a spokesperson. They did not have someone who represented them to the public. And I happen to know that a major New York City morning host was available. And that's exactly who they should have hired. I said, you should hire that guy, make him the face of your company. He can do press. He can get on TV. He can explain it. And most importantly, he can take you from early adopters to early majority. He can take you from that sliver of people who try every new thing, innovators, try every new thing, to most of us who are early adopters. Oh, we like new things. We think that's interesting. But we need a little help to get there. And this person could have done it well. He was like, but that would cost a fortune. He would need all of these people. And I'm thinking, you have 800 people out there looking at an algorithm. It wouldn't kill you to make an original radio show for Spotify. He didn't understand it. He was all scared he'd have to hire. I said, you don't understand. People on the radio, they have themselves, their significant other with brilliant ideas, their kids, and maybe one or two people who have to get to class at 10. That's the production team. At the end of the meeting, this condescending SOB, I handed him my business card, a paper card to this digital savant. And he goes, oh, well, he holds my card and he goes, well, I haven't seen one of these in a while.
It's time for the Walter Sterling Show. It's on every damn night, you know. Every damn night, yeah, that's right. It's the Walter Sterling Show. Every damn night. Every damn night. Yeah, that's right. It's the Walter Sterling Show.
WPHT Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Judge Judy.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Sterling every night. Lesbians in space. Who is sports class?
When did you start figuring out your sexuality?
Early college. Yeah. As old as time. It's classic.
Is it?
It's classic. Isn't it?
I guess.
Girls go to college and they're like, I experimented or whatever.
Well, you play Ava and have, she's bi. She's like very much I'm bi.
Totally.
And because
which we tend to kind of do.
You do?
I mean, hard to not. Such a big part of who we are.
Yeah.
As queers, you know.
www.somebodystopmephd. That powerful, powerful station with the 50 kilowatt smile. Yeah, Sterling, 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 from sea to shining sea. This is www. Somebody stop me, PhD.
Now, jingles are very powerful. And The Gap, like a lot of retailers, is in all kinds of trouble. They're in all kinds of trouble. They were in no trouble when this was their jingle. If they brought this jingle back, everything would be fine.
Ball into the Gap, now get to the Gap.
We got 4 tons of Levi's waiting for you.
At the Gap, now fall into the Gap.
With the world's greatest selection, it's true.
At the Gap, now fall into the Gap.
Whatever your shape, sex, or size,
we got your favorite Levi's jeans.
Yeah, I know. You want to hear it again. All right, just once.
Ball into the Gap, now get to the Gap.
We got 4 tons.
sons of Levi's waiting for you.
At the Gap, now fall into the Gap.
With the world's greatest selection, it's true.
At the Gap, now fall into the Gap.
Whatever your shape, sex, or size,
we got your favorite Levi's jeans.
At the Gap, now shoot. At the Gap, Gap,
fall into the Gap.
The great detective Vic Ferrari, coming up in 15 minutes on Sterling Every Damn Night. Vic Ferrari tells real cop stories on pretty much every episode of Sterling, whatever. Sunday, Sterling on Sunday, Sterling Every Damn Night. I have a website that explains so many things that we try to do. WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. And there you can download your very own Midnight Misfit membership card. You need something. I mean, look at your life. Look at the car you drive, the person you married. I mean, really look at your life. You don't belong to anything. Did you try to get into the tennis club, the swim club? Did they let you in? No, it's not because you're Jewish. It's because it's you. That's why you didn't get in. Now, I'm inviting you to a club that not only will welcome you, but embrace you and give you what you've always wanted, which is a secret language. Ever since you were in high school and you heard the cool girls talking pig Latin, you've wanted a secret language. I will give you a language that will require a decoder card. And when the sales department wakes up and go, wait, wait, they have a decoder card? We could sell that? Yes, you could sell that. Wouldn't that be incredible to bring vintage radio to modern times? Vintage radio to modern times.
Come on, sir.
1024 WPHT. I'm on Market Street. I cross the street, 2000 block at 18th Street. There's a Trader Joe's. Now, I find Trader Joe's to be amusing. I don't find them really practical. I don't drink wine. That's three quarters of the appeal. But I appreciate the fact that they have it down in terms of how to get out of there fast. They have the right cashier system. You will go into a Trader Joe's and you will get out fast. Very admirable. I go in there two nights ago because I wanted to get food. I wanted to be able to bring food to work. And what did that mean? Yogurt, basically yogurt. But I thought, wait a minute, I'll go to Trader Joe's and I'll bet you I can get sushi. Supermarket sushi is not gas station sushi. And it's not airport sushi. Supermarket sushi was probably made there with fish that they already had bought. That's my guess. And in many supermarkets, I can see the person making the sushi. So I feel very comfortable with the sushi, supermarket sushi, not so much gas station sushi. The most terrifying sushi. Have you ever seen on-the-shelf Walmart sushi? Walmart sushi is always on the bottom shelf and for some reason in the produce section near the cheese. None of those are good signs. I don't want any sushi on the bottom shelf, right, you know, a couple inches from my feet and the feet of millions of other people who are all suspect. Everybody in the Walmart suspect. I go into the Trader Joe's on Market Street and I go to the front of the building and the entrance around the back. It's 90 degrees. I got to walk around the back of this building and there's the loading dock, the 18-wheel trucks, angry guys throwing giant boxes, crates of oranges. I go in and it's chaos. Most Trader Joe's have pretty clever logic. I know exactly where to go for the Punjab chicken, the tandoori chicken, the peaches, the cheese. It's always pretty logical. And their secret weapon, the little miniature containers of Trader Joe brand yogurt, vanilla, blueberry. Have you seen the little miniature Trader Joe's yogurt? That is the best yogurt I've ever had. They run out of it instantly. They put it on the shelf three times a day. It's gone. Now I go into this one on Market Street. It's chaos. I have no idea where to find anything. Nothing. And the shelves are half empty. People can't find things. It is the weirdest energy of a supermarket I've ever been in, because one of the things supermarket people are very clever at is where to put things so that you and I will find them and buy them and pay too much for them. This, nothing. This Trader Joe was insane. And I asked a Trader Joe person, and that's the other thing. They didn't look like Trader Joe people. A little hard to explain, but I said, do you sell sushi? And she says, well, no, we have some fish, but we don't have any sushi. Well, right there, I'm screwed. I didn't get what I wanted. Instead, what did I buy yesterday? I bought potato salad at Trader Joe's. I don't think it's a good idea to buy potato salad at any supermarket. It had too many green things in it. I don't even know what it was, saffron or sesame. I don't know what it was, but it didn't taste like mom's potato salad. And as you know, the only potato salad you and I really like is mom's potato salad. I bought two vanilla yogurts that were okay. And I make the mistake, because it looks attractive, I bought a chocolate almond protein shake. Well, that's not what I'm supposed to eat. I'm never supposed to drink anything like that. Then I look at the cashier and I say, do I have to go out the same way I came in? The loading dock? And he said, yeah. There must be something about the storefront on Market Street that affects the price of the rent. That if I could enter a store on Market Street, it must be a more expensive rent than if I have to enter the loading dock. That was very scary. All right, Vic Ferrari, New York City retired police detective with great cop stories. We have a variety of serious issues to discuss with Vic Ferrari, who has made the right decision of living in Florida. What is it? 1029 from 1210 WPHT.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Jumo on TikTok.
Let's make a pizza.
1034 from 1210 WPHT with the astonishing Walter Sterling, WPHT weather. Here we go. Ready? Tomorrow it's going to be 89 and sunny. Saturday, 82 and sunny. Sunday, 83 and sunny. And on Monday, 91 and sunny. Wow, this is shore weather. Let's go down the shore, buddy. Right now it is 74 and clear from 1210 WPHT.
Sailing every night, the cop on his line. Neon lights flicker, patrons talking jive.
The great Vic Ferrari, a retired detective, big deal detective, and a great author. If you haven't gotten a Vic Ferrari book yet, it is time. Vic Ferrari has an Amazon shop. You got to go look at the books. It is a well-done shop, Vic, and I hope you're selling a lot of books. The special Vic Ferrari message that he shared with us this week was very complimentary about a friend of yours actually heard the show in the Southeast. And so, wait a minute, is that Vic? Well, that must have been a pretty cool day, Vic.
Thank you, Walter, and I appreciate it. Yes, it was. The Sterling on Sunday and Sterling on Everyday Network goes coast to coast, east to west.
Now, when you see this insanity about cutting the budgets of police departments around the country, you talk to cops, you talk to other retirees, you talk to people on active duty. What is the mood of a police department today? Because 10 years ago, if you signed up to be a cop, people respected you and were a little afraid of you and kidded you about getting a parking pass for your car. But what's the mood today in police departments across the country?
I mean, from the people I speak to down here in Florida and from my retired friends in NYPD who still have family members on the job, morale is down. Cops are less proactive than they used to be, which is not good for society, because you don't want report takers showing up 20 minutes after a crime to find out what happened. You want them there within seconds, or being proactive to stop a crime before it occurs.
Do you believe that fewer people are going to join the police force, or is it sort of a calling, like being a priest or a disc jockey? Is it a calling that I've got to be a cop? No matter, I don't care about those idiots, I got to be a cop. Or are they having second thoughts?
It was definitely a calling for me and a lot of the people that I was hired with. But you're right, that calling, a lot of people are now, you know what, maybe I'll go to college, maybe I'll become an electrician, maybe I'll become a plumber. And we saw that with the New York City Police Department during the hiring freeze in the 70s. When it was time to start hiring people, there were a lot of people that didn't want the job because of the Knapp Commission and corruption, and then salaries were down. So they took on a lot of people, which made things worse.
In Florida, Florida is held up by conservatives, right-wing people as being the best place to live because of the policies, because of the laws, the respect for the police. As a resident of Florida, do you find that? Are you comfortable there?
Oh, absolutely. It's no state tax. The law is the law. You don't see, at least where I am, you don't see these policies where people are getting locked up 15, 16 times and they're getting out on no bail. I mean, Florida's no joke. If you commit a crime, you're going to do the time.
There was flooding there this week. Were you affected by the floods?
No, I think that was south of me. No, I mean, it rained pretty heavy here for a day and a half, but no, we're fine.
When you get feedback about your books, what's the name of your latest book, Vic?
My latest book is called NYPD Laughing in the Line of Duty.
When you get feedback from readers about your books, is there a particular story that seems to come up a lot? Could you recount one of the stories that every reader seems to really enjoy?
My Hansel and Gretel story, if you'd like to hear it.
We want to hear that story, Vic.
So it's the early 90s. I'm a young man. I'm going out to bars with my friends and meeting girls. And there were these two cops from another precinct, and one of the guys was an amateur magician in his spare time. So we're talking to girls. He comes up and starts pulling flowers out of their ears and coins from behind their ears. So I turn to his partner. I said, get him out of here. And he says, he's the laziest cop in the world. If he wasn't so busy making balloon animals for children for a spare gig, he'd be the greatest cop in the world. A couple of weeks later, the magician and his partner get called down to a six-story building in the basement. It's calls for help. No other call. They go down into the basement. There's two doors. They knock on door number one. No one answers. They go to knock on door number two, and the magician grabs my buddy and says, nah, come on, we made enough noise. He goes, no, I'm going to knock on that door. He goes, no. He goes, come on, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. And they leave. What they didn't know is behind door number two, the super of the building was selling coke. He fell behind in his payments to his wholesaler. Well, in the drug world, they don't cancel your cable or send nasty letters. They went and killed the guy. They used an old gypsy trick. They got an attractive female. They put her in front of the door. They knocked on the door. When the guy opened the door, these two hoodlums came in. They bum-rushed him. They pistol-whipped him. Where's the drugs? Where's the money? He doesn't have answers. They shoot the guy in the head. They roll him up in a carpet. They take him out of the apartment. They throw him in a furnace. They go back into the apartment while they're ransacking it. The two cops are outside. So now the bad guys and the female in the apartment panic, and they tell the female, listen, if the cops knock on the door, lead them into the apartment and just start yelling in Yugoslavian and point towards the kitchen. When you get past the threshold of this bedroom, throw yourself on the floor. We're going to come out from behind. We're going to shoot these cops. We're going to take them out. We're going to throw them in the furnace. Well, that never happened because the magician pulled my buddy out of there. So the super had family. They report him missing. The detectives get involved, and they see there's a 911 call to that apartment. They call in my buddy and the magician. Did you see anything? And they says, well, no, we knocked on one door. We didn't knock on the other door. But my buddy said, you know what? When we were leaving, I noticed there was a car outside parked in a fire hydrant. And that's the same way they caught the Son of Sam through a parking ticket. My buddy wrote the car on the parking on the fire hydrant a ticket. That was the getaway car that was registered to the female. They grab her. She starts spilling her guts, of course, trying to minimize her involvement. The detectives get involved. They go back to the building. They shut off the heat, and they pull the bones, skull and bones, out of the apartment.
Which book is that in?
NYPD Through the Looking Glass, Stories from Inside America's Largest Police Department.
Tell us exactly how to find it on Amazon. Where do we go?
Just go to Amazon, type in my name, Vic, Ferrari Like the Car, where you can preview all my NYPD books for free.
You're a terrific guy, a fantastic contributor to Sterling every night. I am grateful. Every time I hear one of your reports, I'm like, I don't have to sweat this. It's perfect. You tell great stories. You tell them at the right pace, and they're fascinating. And I'm not kidding. I can't stand all these podcasts with all these fictional crimes. I'm like, no, I have Vic Ferrari. I have real crimes, and I am grateful for that. So, Vic, enjoy your weather, enjoy your summer, and thank you for being part of the family of Sterling Every Night.
Walter Sterling on the radio, telling tales as the minutes go. Florida stories and lesbians in space, bloody books in this here place. Tales from the cop bar, wild and raw, every damn night we break the law. Walter Sterling, the voice of the night, bringing stories that'll give you a fright. Late night, the airways alive with Walter's voice, we all survive. Stories of love, laughter, and Sid, he's the king of the radio within.
.1043 from 1210 WPHT, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Kate Martin.
How I eat my popcorn as possible, and we responded really well. I just made popcorn, and our support staff got stopped.
I love popcorn so much.
Okay, so probably, I mean,
only box out.
That's the beauty of pizza, isn't it? And I put it on Facebook. Last night, I went to Paso Pizza near Rittenhouse Square. It was 1210. Nabil, the owner, was there. There was all the pizza lined up like a rainbow of gourmet delights. And my favorite, sausage pizza, was there. I didn't have to ask for it special. Most of our lives, you could get pepperoni, cheese, sausage, ta-da! Then horrible things happen, like ham and pineapple. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have even said it. I lifted it up, and I could see the beautiful streetlights of Rittenhouse Square through the slice of pizza. Through the slice of pizza. And then when I did that, it started to drip the anointed oil of pizza in Philadelphia. Philadelphia anointed sacred pizza oil dripping down my sleeve on my car. And it not only did it not annoy me, it enlivened me. I'm like, yes, this is the vision I want. I have posted that video on Facebook. Sterling, Walter Sterling. Check the Facebook. There's a photo of the box, the slice, but most importantly, an actual video of sacred pizza oil dripping. It inspires me. Please leave a comment so that I know you're alive. Now, I am endlessly annoyed and entertained by so-called celebrities saying, if this person becomes president, I'm going to Canada. I'm leaving the country. What exactly do you expect that to do except annoy Canadians? Canadians don't want us. They don't like us. Oh, sure, they buy our cars. They don't know how to build a car after 110 years. Have to buy our cars in Canada. But other than that, they speak French a lot better than we do. And I'm like, well, why should these so-called celebrities go to Canada? Why don't they go to other countries? They never say, I want to go to Somalia. I'm going to go to Somalia. I thought, well, where else could they go? They could go to Eritrea. Eritrea, an African nation. What would it take to become a native, a citizen of Eritrea? Here's the answer. Number one, any person who is not of Eritrean origin and has entered and resided in Eritrea in 1952 or after shall apply for Eritrean nationality to the Secretary of Internal Affairs. The Secretary of Internal Affairs shall grant nationality by naturalization to the person mentioned in here are the steps. They've entered legally and have been domiciled in Eritrea for how long? 10 months? 10 weeks? No. 10 years. before 1974 or has been domiciled in Eritrea for a period of 20 years while making periodic visits abroad. You can visit sometimes. They have to possess, here you go, Eritrea. They have to possess high integrity and have not been convicted of a crime. They must understand and speak one of the languages of Eritrea. You could come into America. You don't have to be able to speak English or Spanish or nothing. You have to be free of any mental or physical handicaps. Eritrea will not become a burden. You will not become a burden to Eritrean society and can provide for your own and your family's needs. They're not going to give you anything. There are no handouts in Eritrea. You have to provide for yourself and for your family. You have to renounce the nationality of another country. Got that? You have decided to be permanently domiciled in Eritrea upon granting this nationality. If they make you a natural Eritrean, you have to stay. You have to not commit any anti-people acts during the liberation struggle of the Eritrean people. And a person shall be granted Eritrean nationality by naturalization and given a certificate of nationality pursuant to blah, 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 blah. And you will be proclaimed as willing to submit to the Gazette of Eritrean Laws. One more. A person given a certificate of nationality. Let's see. The Secretary of Internal Affairs may cause the name of any offspring on whose behalf an application has been made by a person responsible for the child under the law that they will be included in the certificate of nationality by the applying person. Well, that's to get into Eritrea. And I'm like, well, most countries have an anthem, a national anthem. And Eritrea does too.
Eritrea, Eritrea, Eritrea holds a rightful place in the world. But you can't be a citizen here unless you meet the following requirements. You must have good character and conduct and have no criminal convictions. Also have good mental and physical health and no disabilities. Eritrea, Eritrea, no disabled people need apply. You must be economically self-sufficient. We're not giving you a single marker. That's our local currency. It's only worth about 6 cents U.S. But we're not giving you a single marker.
Beautiful, beautiful. What a great national anthem that you get to have, Mr. Celebrity, if you move to Eritrea because you're so sick of the United States of America. But you have to have lived there for about 20 years before they'll even consider it. And that's something. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I have an email. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com. And coming up, we have the great Dave Scott, who's an expert on all things UFOs. And I think maybe Aviva Vegas will be sharing stories with us about her adventures in marriage. I hope so. What else have we got? Yes, congratulations. I can't believe this, but it's true. Our president has done something. I hope he gets it done. He's done something that's really good. He proposes medical debt banned from affecting credit reports. This is what Biden wants to do. He wants to ban credit reporting agencies from including medical debt in their credit score calculations. He wants to block medical debt from being a factor to evaluate if a borrower is eligible for a loan, including mortgages. and he wants to address incorrect, confusing, and complex medical bills to help avoid lengthy patient billing disputes. Thank goodness. Medical debt should not be on a credit report, but I would take it further. There should be no medical report. There should be no credit reports. There should be no credit reports. The credit bureaus have demonstrated repeatedly for years. Number one, they can't keep it secure. They have failed many times to keep credit reporting information secure. Remember a few years ago, not only was there a massive security breach of a major credit bureau, but right before the security breach was announced, the C-suite of that credit bureau cashed out a lot of their stock, and none of them went to jail. They cashed out their stock. They mislabeled it. Familiar? They mislabeled it. They mislabeled the transactions, and they didn't go to jail. They didn't even go to court. They were not able to keep their data secure, which was my data and your data. And all of a sudden, every time you go to register a password, you get a message from whatever app saying, that password was recently in a security breach. We suggest you use a better password. Really? Why do I have to do that? Oh, because of the credit bureau screw up. The credit bureau screw up. Then if you ever want to get really depressed, read your credit report and you will be stunned at how many things are either wrong or completely unimportant, such as if you live in a city, if you live in Center City, you live near a bar, it will show on your credit report and adverse you negatively that you live near a bar. Isn't that unbelievable? I'm glad the president's going to try to get this through. I wish we just got rid of credit bureaus immediately. Sterling, every damn night.
Now, the shame of Philadelphia radio. The time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
Weather from 1210 WPHT. Today it got up to 88. Tomorrow it'll be 90 and clear down the shore for sure. Saturday, 82, clear. Sunday, 83 and clear. Monday, 91 and sunny. Right now, air quality alert. Conditions are expected to last until midnight Saturday, June 15th. It is 73 and clear in Center City, 88 degrees tonight. We're going to have a great night, beautiful night. 1104 with Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is a live radio show on WPHT. This is the first time in 38 and a half years that there has been a live radio show at this time. Isn't it magnificent? I have gas. Oh, my God. All right.
Sterling every night, lost in space. Mission control, take a shot.
The legendary Dave Scott, an expert on all things extraterrestrial, metaphysical. He's a multi-talented broadcaster. An honor to have you at 11:05 on 1210 WPHT with Walter Sterling. Dave Scott, what do you have to report today?
I'm heartbroken right now if I'm watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. But you know, Walt, we always have something fun to talk about. And the one thing that I wanted to talk about tonight was demonic possession.
Yes.
Because,
yes,
you know, this is something that has been going on throughout the centuries where, you know, people have claimed demons are all around. It tends back to, you know, biblical times where we have to watch out who's trying to trick us, who's trying to invade our bodies. And I have seen a possession once, and that was just a couple of weeks ago. And I will be honest with you, Walt, I am still kind of weirded out by it all after seeing it happen, where a spirit took over a lady's body right in front of me and watching her face morph and her dragging me around the floor. And I could just imagine what it would be like or how people accidentally get in that situation. And here's my thoughts on this, Walt, because I know you like a good demon story every now and again. I think the issue is that we allow them into our bodies. we allow them to take over, because the more we kind of move away from our own spirituality and we believe in everything that goes on in our lives rather than what is truly going on around our spiritual self, it makes us more susceptible to these evil spirits jumping on us and trying to take our bodies and our souls.
Dave Scott, you have to start from the beginning. We have the time. I need to hear the story about how a woman was able to drag you around. Please tell me, how did you know she was being possessed? What were the steps involved? How did you escape?
Well, what I do, Walt, is we have a local museum here right along the old Gold Rush Trail that started off in Virginia City and ended up here in British Columbia. And I was, you know, I run a ghost tour there, a paranormal investigative tour, where we go and we take people around the museum and we take them on a paranormal investigation, as you would see on television and everything like that, in order to try and make them have a feeling of what it's like to be on a paranormal investigation. Because most people watch those television shows and they think, wow, that's kind of cool. I'd love to try that. So we do it. We charge $25 a person, and for the next 2.5 hours, you get to be a ghost hunter in your life. Pretty cheap, I think, but that's just me. Anyways, we have a barn in our studio that is very, very haunted. And on the upstairs floor of this barn, there's usually a ghost that isn't too happy with any types of spooks or spirits around. And we went up there. And everything was going fine. We walk into the middle part of the A-frame barn, which is about 115 years old. And about 2 minutes later, I see this woman running out of the barn. So I tell the group, I said, hold on right there, because we need to be able to figure out what is going on here with all of this. And I go to the exit, and she runs down the stairs right past her friend, who is keeled on over, looking like a 90-degree angle. So one of the museum representatives was there, and she is basically holding on to the lady saying, hey, are you okay? Are you okay? So I walk up, and I said, hey, what's going on here? She goes, I think she's been hit. And what we mean by hit is not physically hit, but hit by a spirit that a spirit has clinged onto her. So her name is Jamie. I go up to her, and I say, Jamie, I need you to tell me what's going on. You need you to talk to me here. Look at me here, darling. And she won't pick her head up to look at me. And her hands are all, fingers are all curled together, and they're shaking, and her hands are shaking. And I said, Jamie, you got to look at me. She picks her head up, and she's huffing and puffing at me. And I look into her eyes, Walt, and I don't recognize the person who is there. And I say, Jamie, is this you? Are you, where's Jamie? I said, whoever is inside Jamie, could you please get Jamie for me? And I start talking to the spirit, and it just gets really, really weird from there. She starts pulling her head down, pulling at her hair, scratching on her body with her hands. She starts talking in a very masculine type voice. This is a very feminine lady talking in a masculine voice. She's huffing and puffing at me. She has a hold of my hands, and she's trying to squeeze my hands. And I'm like, I need to speak with Jamie. And then I said, what's your name? Whatever it was inside of her would not tell me her name, its name. And I'm like, okay, what do we do here? I have to go through the old Rolodex, try to figure out how to clear this spirit out of her body. And finally, I end up having with me a blessed cross. And I had one of my volunteers grab the cross and start rubbing it on her back. Well, this really upset the spirit inside of her, Walt, because next thing I know, this 140-pound lady is dragging 250-pound me across the floor in anger. And I finally was able to get my strength and hit the brakes on this. And then she looked up at me and in this masculine voice said, get me a drink now. I want a drink now. And I started saying, well, you're not going to get one. You have to let go of Jamie. You're not allowed to actually be doing this. Well, the spirit didn't matter. We fought for about another 15 minutes battling. I started calling in, you know, in the name of God, in the name of peace, love, and light, you must release her. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Jamie pops into her head. She looks at me. She's like, it's gone. I'm going to throw up. I got to get out of this building. And she quickly, just as fast, runs downstairs and out of the building in order for us to try and get her healthy. But the spirit wasn't done yet, because, Walt, the spirit attached itself to me. And now I have it inside of me, and I had to deal with cleaning it up in order to get it out of me, because I really didn't want to be possessed that night. And apparently,
how did you get it out of you? Clorox?
Well, no, you know, in Canada here, we prefer, you know, some Tim Hortons and a good donut always helps. Mm. No, but I actually had to get a psychic friend of mine who is very powerful to tap into me in order to clear the spirit. I had to clear the spirit. If you believe in what I believe, I had to be able to contact spirit guides that I have in order to cleanse what was inside of me. And it wasn't pretty. It took a long time, but we were able to get it released.
How do you know when it was released? Could there still be part of it in you? Could you still be possessed and lying?
I could be. I could feel it, though. I could feel my energy come back. I was feeling more like myself. It doesn't feel like it is a part of me anymore. But the interesting part about it is, Walt, is shortly after this happened, that's when I developed the sniffles, which turned into this major earache that I'm still battling today that you and I talked about.
I'm glad you're better. I'm glad that you are released of the spirit. You said something at the beginning, Dave Scott, that I totally agree with, which is that we have to be willing to accept things like this or not. You could also have done whatever you needed to do in your mind and your heart to not accept these spirits, but you decided to let them in. Is that right?
Well, in order to get this spirit out of this lady, the only way I knew how was to take it into me. So I had to basically invite it in, get it out of her body. I had to invite it into my body and go from there. Now, whether that's a smart thing to do or not, I don't know. But I can tell you it wasn't a fun experience, but we got it done, and we were able to help this lady get the spirit out of her body. And the funny part about it is she's like, that was so cool afterwards. She goes, I am never coming back here again.
Dave Scott, I'm sure there will be questions about this. What's the best email for you?
You can email me at dave@spacedoutradio.com.
Say it again.
dave@spacedoutradio.com.
I'm Walter M. Sterling. That's Dave Scott. This is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. Inspired by the Osborne family.
Do you know what it means when someone says based?
Bit.
No, based.
Bait.
B-A-S-E-D. Based.
Based.
Yeah.
That means cocaine.
Mum, what do you think it means?
I've got no idea.
Okay. It's person or opinion is one that is confident, free-thinking, and not influenced by the opinion of others. For example, I am based.
To do something special for our special day.
Our anniversary!
Yeah!
Happy anniversary, aww, babe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, honey.
Mm. Our jingles!
Sterling every night.
I want to thank on Facebook Linda S., who wrote this really nice comment. She wrote, I don't usually listen in the evening, but was driving home tonight and heard some of your show. You had me laughing with your pizza riff, and I needed a good laugh. Thank you, and thank you, Linda. Right now on Facebook, I've put up a spectacular video of the anointed oil of a Philadelphia pizza. When you fold a Philadelphia pizza in half, it is so properly thin, not that embarrassing thick housing insulation they serve in Chicago, that it actually drips sacred oil onto your car seat, your sleeves, and you never object because it's Philadelphia pizza oil, which is anointed by Jesus, and it's sacred. And you never complain about it because let me tell you, you go to a city that doesn't have Philadelphia-style pizza, you will be sad every day of your life. You will sit there and go, this is no better than frozen. And it's not. The only place you and I are going to find the pizza we need is here. It is the reason. Not a reason. It is the reason when your children say, could we move to Disneyland and live there? You say, no, they don't have Philadelphia pizza. P-A-Z-Z-O. Nabil's Pizza near Rittenhouse Square. Did I promise him anything? Did I say I'll talk about your business in exchange for pizzas? No, I just don't think that way. I'm not in sales. I'm a content creator of the traditional style. I use crayons most of the day. 1121 with Walter M. Sterling. I get another email, a very interesting email. I write a column in a publication you can see that's free. And you might find it entertaining if you're at all entertained by talk radio. It's called Talkers. And I wrote a column in there about my experience with the program director of WPHT. He's part of the morning show. He's on there with Superman's father. His name's Greg Stocker, and he's a good guy. So I had lunch with Greg right when I started. And at the end of the lunch, I said, is there anything else you need from me? Is there anything else I can do for you? And let me find this email that I got. Hold on. Michael's Patriot. Oh, here you go. Okay. It's on in talkers.com. And I wrote a note. I wrote a short column in there about Greg Stocker, the program director. And what Greg said to me after our lunch, I said, is there anything else I can do for management at WPHT? Is there anything else you need? Anything else I can do? And he said, do your show. That's what he said. He said, do your show. And he didn't say anything else. To a host, that's a lot of information. First of all, he's telling me the play's the thing. That's what matters. What you do on the air, that's what matters. And you're thinking, well, of course that's what matters. No. What he didn't say was meet with sales, meet with HR, don't annoy anybody, get all the spots in. I get this note from a friend of ours in radio, Mark W. Mark, it's a nice note. Thank you. And beautifully spaced as well. A very nice email. And he writes, he goes over the points. He says, everywhere I've worked as a talk show host, whether at major companies or at smaller local regional outfits, I have repeatedly heard all of the other things you mentioned, such as meet with sales. Yes, often I had to meet with sales, and often involving going on required meets and greets with account execs and clients. And then he says he was often asked to meet with HR. And again, yes, regularly he had to meet with HR. And I wrote, Greg didn't mention don't annoy. And my friend here writes, yes, constantly. And the question might be with a client, a local celebrity, local elected official, just don't annoy anyone. And then the final one I mentioned, get all the spots in. Well, yeah, like I really need to be reminded of that. Walter, I would have been thrilled if the only major directive I ever received was do your show. You are expected to do all of that other stuff or else. And I can tell you that most talk hosts, unless they are syndicated or own their own show, blah, 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 have experiences similar to mine. He says, and I'm reading this because it's true, you are very fortunate that you are in a position where you can just do your show and not worry about all the other stuff. Most of us have never had that freedom, and I'm surprised you seem unaware of it. Well, I'm not unaware of it. I'm totally aware of it. That's why I wrote it. But I am grateful to Greg Stocker and David Yadgaroff for running a radio station the right way. This is a very unusual radio station, and I'm only going to kiss their butts for about 30 more seconds. It's a very unusual radio station because people here are happy. Now, for some reason, there's endless whining at most talk radio stations. I'm paid to complain about stuff, and I'm paid to encourage you to complain about stuff, and that's the show. Therefore, most talk show hosts complain in the halls. They complain all the time. And when management goes, oh, why are they always complaining? I'm saying, they're complaining because you're paying them to complain. That's why they complain all the time. You're paying them to complain. That's why you hired them, because they're very good at complaining. The people at WPHT and Odyssey, an odd name. In Philadelphia, it's a happy shop, and that's because of David Yadgaroff, and I am grateful to all of them. Thanks for letting me be part of the family. It's a real honor.
Hey, www, somebody stop me, PHT. www, if you can top me, PHT. 2400 Market Street, 1210 on your dial. That powerful, powerful station with the 50 kilowatt smile. Yeah, Sterling from sea to shining sea. This is www. Somebody stop me, PHT.
50,000 watts, WPHT, one of the original clear channel radio stations, one of the original 28 radio stations put on by the Defense Department to protect our country in time of attack. And we're always sort of attacked. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I have an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every single email. All the Pennsylvania Turnpike toll booths are going away. I drove a couple miles today on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and I got to see that there were no toll booths. No, that's not true. There are no manned toll booths. But in the next 2 years, all of the physical toll booths will be taken down. And in the process of taking them down, they have eliminated, I want to get the number right, 500 employees. They're going fully cashless and laid off about 500 employees. Today, there is no one working at the toll booths, and no jobs were affected by the last week's final decision, because they'd already laid off 500 people. But those were union toll takers. How much did they have to pay to settle that with the union? How much did a, retired toll taker get to leave? Because a toll taker job for a lot of people was a truly great job. It was 20 years to retirement. You worked in a toll booth for 20 years, you got to retire. It was a good pension, and it was good pay. I think the average pay for a toll taker toward the end was about $72,000 a year, and I couldn't do that job. Not because of the boredom, but because I would always imagine that truck isn't going to get it right and they're going to drive right into my toll booth. That would be my nightmare if I was a toll taker. Boy, I'd love to hear from a toll taker. You were a toll taker on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and it was legend. Baby, it was legend because the Pennsylvania Turnpike was the first toll road in America. And had a huge budget, and they have a public relations person. Well, if you look on the budget line of the Pennsylvania Turnpike, you will see that there's a budget line for public relations. Does that mean every road needs a PR person? The person who runs, the CEO of the Pennsylvania Turnpike, is a well-paid individual. It's about $850,000 a year of your tolls at work. And technically, the toll was never meant to repair the road. No. The toll doesn't repair the road. Your gasoline tax goes to repairing the road. The toll on the Pennsylvania Turnpike and almost every toll road is to pay off the bonds that poured the concrete. That's what it is. There should be no tolls. The sinister part of no toll taker, the sinister part of you can just drive through. We got Big Brother on your license plate. We know exactly who you are and exactly where you live, and we'll come for you. The sinister part is now it is easier to raise the toll. Because if you and I don't have to physically give somebody money on the road, we forget how much it is. And those tolls can be raised at any time. Oh, well, there are public hearings. Or everybody gets a chance to review. There ain't no publicity, no eye-level, top-of-line awareness of what we're paying for the toll if we're just driving through some bizarre overhead, which are all, by the way, really expensive. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Coming up is Aviva in Vegas. This is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
Put that on camera. You're a creep.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling at night.
Walmart is one of, actually, it's not just one, it is the one, number one. They sell more stuff than anyone else, most revenue of any company in the world. High school senior left paralyzed. He was a part of this thing that's going on, social media challenge off the TikTok and stuff. It's called the Senior Assassin. So going out with toy guns and just shooting at random people in a parking lot. Man and daughter walking through the parking lot of Walmart, and these people open fire. Just outside of Wichita, what happens? Dad pulls out his gun and sprays the vehicle with actual real bullets. Senior Assassin, by the way, an elaborate game of tag where participant high school seniors were given a target and are usually asked to record tagging their victims and posting it on social media off school grounds. Here's the dummy, and I hope he recovers. His name? Anakin Ziering. Yeah, like Ian Ziering of 90210 and Anakin, like Anakin Skywalker of Star Wars. In the car with a couple other dudes, Goddard, Kansas. And yeah, the drive-by shooting with gel blasters, not a good idea. Social media trends have led to all sorts of hurt people. I'm sure young Anakin is quite the chap and just got caught up in a social media scheme. Parents, gotta educate him. Gotta educate him real good. You pull out a gun and shoot at people, especially in a place like Kansas, you're likely to take lead back. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at night.
37 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. Oh, my gosh. there's a horrible trend that affects men, and it's this. There are times of year where you and I are expected to become farmers, and it always involves the family, what a great family opportunity it'll be, and some of them are all right, like chopping down your own Christmas tree, sawing down your own Christmas tree. I have never done that because I'm, wait a minute, do I have to use an axe, a power saw, or a hand saw? What do I have to do? Because you see, mom's not going to be cutting down the Christmas tree. 8-year-old isn't going to cut down the Christmas tree. It always comes to dad for free labor. And then not only would I have to cut down the Christmas tree, sort of self-bagging Christmas, not only would I have to cut down the Christmas tree, I'd have to get it to the car and pay for the privilege. What? I get to cut down the Christmas tree and I have to pay for the privilege. Bad idea. Then there's the dreaded pumpkin patch, where first we take the 8-year-old into a maze and then they get scared. I have to go to the bathroom now. And you don't know when to get the kid out. You don't know how to get out fast enough for the bathroom. That's no fun. It's no fun for me. sorry. There's no fun for me in doing the pumpkin maze.
Sorry. You want to have sex?
What? No, no. God, no. Please close your legs up.
And then the other thing about the pumpkin patch is it's always colder than you think and muddier than I had planned, and I wore the wrong shoes. All my life, I've heard whatever woman I've been with, sometimes my wife, saying, oh, I wore the wrong shoes. I picked the wrong shoes. The only time men ever think I wore the wrong shoes is when we're dragged into pick your own apples or pumpkin patch. Pumpkins are very heavy. The wagon they give you is not good enough. That load is heavy. Great. So I take it back to the farmhouse and we put them on a scale and they pay me to have picked my own pumpkins. Now it's that time of year where we're being invited. I've got to get this headline right. We're being invited to pick your own strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, and other produce near Philadelphia. Ready? In the Philly area, we've got tons of local farms and orchards that have fields brimming with pick-your-own produce throughout the season, from New Jersey to Lancaster County and beyond. I can't think of anything worse. You should only pick ripe berries, meaning completely red strawberries without green or white tips. Easily plucked raspberries and dark, plump blueberries and blackberries. If you need help, don't be afraid to ask the folks at the farm. Well, the problem is that the folks at the farm are laughing their butt off when they see us city slickers picking blueberries, staining our shirts with blueberries, staining our jeans with blackberries, getting our hands permanently stained as though you're using Clairol on your hair and denying it. But there's no denying picking your own blueberries, strawberries. Again, a bad idea. Here's how I pick my own blueberries and strawberries. I'm at Trader Joe's or Whole Foods. I have a basket. I have a shopping basket. I go up and down the aisle. Oh, my gosh, look at that. It's blueberry time of year. I look for the ones that are very big. They tend to be softest and sweetest. I buy them, put them in the shopping cart. Oh, right next to the strawberries that I picked. And 9 times out of 10, the strawberries are too hard and too tart, and I don't know why did I buy them. And the blackberries, I'll tell you a trick about the blackberries, because inevitably, when I bite into a store-bought blackberry, it's hard and bitter. But there is a way to fix it. That's how I go shopping for pick your own produce. I pick my own produce at Whole Foods. Works out. It's perfect. And I don't have to deal with the farmer family. The farmer family is always very disturbing because there's dad over there and he's not doing anything. Mom's at the cashier because in every household that's successful, mom is at the cash register. She's there. There is a son who appears to have not gone to school for a while. Little out of it, strange hat, out of the Philadelphia area, team hat, suspicious, smells like deliverance. But then there's a perky, cute 19-year-old girl who works at the farm for 2 weeks of the year. Dad, mom say, you got to help us at the farm. We need help at the farm. Meanwhile, she's a cheerleader at a major university. But mom and dad have said, you got to help us out at the farm. It's pick your own season. And she feels about it the same way we do. We have deliverance child, mom running the cash register, dad over there, and cheerleader. Who are we supposed to ask for help when picking our own? I can't see the cheerleader coming into the fields with us. I am scared of the deliverance son going into the fields with us. Mom has to watch the register. And dad, we don't know. He's just laughing that he got city slickers to do his farming, to do his harvest, and then he gets to charge us. Now, about the blackberries. If you take blackberries and put them in the microwave for 10 seconds, they suddenly become soft and sweet and really good. I've always loved the blackberry idea. I've never liked the reality of blackberries. But then I learned that in the microwave, all is well. 11:44 with Walter M. Sterling. That's my name, and this is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by dumb TikToks.
If you see me pouring water on my head while I'm on live, that means I can't stand my co-host. But if you see me just taking a sip out of the water bottle, that means I may have a slight crush on my co-host. But shh, don't tell them I'm live right now.
Sterling every night. Study books, love. dusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, Preen Hard, Rest Harder. I spun around and hurried out of the kitchen. As I climbed the staircase, my anticipation grew with each step. I didn't know exactly what Tristan had in store for me, but I couldn't wait to find out. Inside my suite, I finished my evening preparations as fast as possible. Washing my face, brushing my teeth, swallowing my pills. At last, I wriggled out of my jeans and t-shirt, leaving them in a folded pile next to my luggage. I tucked my bra and panties into one of the suitcase pockets, wondering why I thought it necessary to be so modest when this young, gorgeous guy was going to see me naked in a few minutes. Turning my attention to the bed, I yanked at the quilt and top sheet, sliding them down to the bottom of the mattress as instructed. A small ceramic lamp stood on each nightstand. I snapped one of them on before flipping the wall switch for the overhead lighting. A cozy glow bathed the room, yet it was impossible to ignore the giant bed at its center. I sat on the edge of the mattress, swinging my feet up before rolling over onto my stomach. An assortment of pillows was arranged at the head of the bed, and I grabbed one of them. Smoothing out the pillowcase, I rested my cheek on it, folded my hands underneath, and waited. And waited. And waited. It felt like hours had gone by, and a jumble of conflicting thoughts clouded my head. Had Tristan changed his mind about joining me tonight? Or was he intentionally drawing this out to tease me? Apprehension prickled over my skin, but I didn't dare move and ruin whatever game he had planned. The sound of creaking footsteps on the staircase filled me with both relief and excitement. I heard him pause in the doorway. Even though I tried to peek backward over my shoulder, I couldn't get a good glimpse of him. A wicked chuckle resonated throughout the room. Damn, Julia, you look amazing. His words ignited something deep in my core. I didn't answer. He stalked toward the bed with the same deliberate pace. The mattress shifted as he sat down, and I met his gaze as he leaned over. His predatory grin made a reappearance, matched by the hunger in his eyes. With one hand, he brushed my hair away from my face. "I'll take care of everything," he said, his voice soft yet authoritative. "Do not move." Tristan's fingertips skated over the top of my back when he tucked my hair over one shoulder. As he knelt beside me, I heard the faint click of a plastic bottle opening. The scent of lavender floated toward my nose as he placed his palms on my shoulders. Using firm, broad strokes, he massaged the lotion into my skin, rubbing in wide circles. I closed my eyes. Little by little, his pressure increased, probing into my stiff muscles. He located every spot of tension, coaxing it free. A sigh left my lips as I lost myself to his soothing rhythms. My moment of serenity didn't last long. After he applied more lotion, he worked his way lower on my back. His hands skimmed up and down either side of my spine, from my shoulders to my waist. With every pass, he came closer to the outer curve of my chest. I wanted to relax, to fully enjoy the experience, but the idea of him feeling more of my body drove me wild. A tiny whimper escaped when he lingered near my sensitive flesh. His thumbs continued to press into my muscles while his other fingers glanced across the edge of my chest. He dipped down to briefly cup my sides, but then withdrew. A twinge of arousal pulsed inside me. I wanted more, yet, for the first time in as long as I could remember, I wasn't the one in control. Tristan paused. Before I could protest, he repositioned himself between my knees, gently guiding them apart. Fire simmered beneath my skin as I felt exposed, vulnerable. His hands returning to my waist both grounded me and fanned the flames. He massaged my lower back with the same steady pressure. Didn't stay there long. From his new angle, he leaned into me hard. I turned my head in the hopes the pillow would muffle my moan. I wanted him to keep touching me, to touch me everywhere. And the intensity of my desire for him caught me off guard. When he reached the top of my thighs, I stiffened. With his palms, he kept my legs spread wide. He hesitated, and a whirlwind of thoughts ricocheted through my mind as I tried to anticipate his next move. How far did he intend to take this tonight? I think I'd better stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Train Hard, Rest Harder, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon.
Today is Broadcaster Foundation of America Giving Day. I want you to think about all the, especially here in Philadelphia, all of the great radio and television hosts, talent, entertainers that you've heard over the years and have become part of our lives, in our car, in our living room, in our shower. The people on the radio and TV in Philadelphia are special, and they're part of us. Sometimes they retire, and when they retire, they sometimes need help. Go to the Broadcaster Foundation of America.com site. Sterling every night.
And my classroom should be as well air conditioned as your favorite bar.
It's Sterling every night. Thank you for listening to the one.